If you're just waking up to the news, an 8.8 magnitude earthquake struck about 80 miles off the coast of northeastern Japan hours ago, triggering a massive tsunami. It reached the coast of Japan just 30 minutes after the initial earthquake. It gave very little time for warning and evacuation, and of course, caused a massive devastation in the country that at this point we really have no good estimate of how wide the costs in both property and human life are. Just this morning, we are hearing that Japan has issued a state of emergency at one of their nuclear plants. Apparently, they had a cooling system failure. They have said that there's no radiation leak, though. And we got a statement that was just released by President Obama in which he says, "Michelle and I send our deepest condolences to the people of Japan, particularly those who've lost loved ones in the earthquake and tsunamis. The United States stands ready to help the Japanese people in this time of great trial. The friendship and alliance between our two nations is unshakable, only strengthens our resolve to stand with the people of Japan as they overcome this tragedy." He also says that he's instructed FEMA to be ready to assist Hawaii and the rest of the U.S. states and territories that could be affected. Hawaii and Guam could see waves coming out there. In fact, in some places, they've warned that the tsunami waves actually are cresting higher than the landmass of these Pacific islands.
But it varies
themselves.
From island to island.
Absolutely.
And the depth of the ocean and the topography, the shape of the wave, the energy dissipates.
A tsunami can move up to 500 miles per hour, which is an incredible amount of force. But again, as John just said, that's mitigated by a number of other things. We want to get an update now from Indonesia. This is the largest earthquake in the Ring of Fire since the devastating earthquake in Indonesia in 2004. We're joined by the DBC's Tommy Sucipto. Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good morning.
Can you tell me exactly what's happening in Indonesia there? How are people preparing for a possible hit by a tsunami?
Okay. The officials have identified the high-risk areas in the eastern part of Indonesia. Now, the tsunamis are, in fact, expected to hit the coast in about 20 to 30 minutes from now. But then it's not going to be a huge wave because they're saying that the wave is going to be as high as 2 meters. Nonetheless, the authorities here are not taking any chances. The authorities have issued tsunami warning on national television, and we do have the advantage of time. When the tsunami hit Japan, people in Indonesia already had the advantage of seeing the pictures of the waves. So even though the areas are not well equipped with the tsunami warning system, but with the advanced time, they already know what's going to happen. My producer just spoke with one of the officials in the high risk areas. There is now a sense of panic. People are flooding to the streets, causing massive traffic jams. This is after officials telling them to go to higher grounds.
And let's just to remind people, we're speaking with Tommy Sucipto in Jakarta, Indonesia, where in about 20 minutes, the tsunami from the Japanese earthquake this morning is expected to hit. Tommy, let's explore that a little bit. I mean, I imagine there's no better early warning system for a tsunami in Indonesia than memories of the devastation that took place in 2004 and 2005. The panic there that you're reporting is not a surprise, I would think.
Yes, we do have an early warning system, but not in the high-risk areas in this case, because most of the early warning system in place is actually in the western part of Indonesia, where the 2004 tsunami happened,
right,
which hit the coast of Sumatra Island. Meanwhile, on the eastern part of Indonesia, we don't have the early warning system. What we do have in place is sirens, but that's not enough to obviously that's not enough to warn the people. So as I said, in this case, there is an advantage of time, which gives people to evacuate and do some preparations.
Although, if, as you're saying, there's a lot of panic and people rushing, in fact, that panic could perhaps lead to more danger than the tsunami itself.
Yeah, I think due to The panic, actually, there is a risk of causing more, even more danger with the panic. But even though in every situation, people, whenever they see, you can never get used to a disaster situation. So, for example, in the area that we spoke to, it's in the town called Manado. In fact, Manado is going to have a tsunami drill next week. And this town actually always have an annual tsunami drill. And yet again, whenever the real disaster happens, that you can't really stop the people from panicking.
Yeah,
so I guess
it's certainly understandable. That is BBC's Tommy Sucipto. He's speaking to us from Jakarta, Indonesia.
Well, the people of Mado are going to get a tsunami drill in about 20 minutes.
It's not
that's
a drill.
For sure. An 8.8 magnitude earthquake struck 80 miles off of Japan's coast hours ago. We're dealing with the aftermath in terms of the propagation of the tsunami wave scheduled to hit Indonesia, as you're hearing there, about 20 minutes from now. It's already passed over Taiwan, we believe, with very little impact. Asian stock markets, the yen, have all fallen this morning, not unexpectedly. And we're getting some information from social networking sites, which have been tweeting since before 4 a.m. Eastern time, when we began to learn of what's happened in Japan. Ogawa tweeted this information: gas electricity has stopped, but Kyushu area and Nagasaki City is not influenced now. Someone named Akima, whose voice we actually heard earlier in the program, emailed the BBC, "The aftershocks happen still now, and my windows are swaying." Someone named Craig in Funabashi, Chiba, emailed the BBC, "The first tremor felt the strongest as it was horizontal. The second, although in Chiba itself, was vertical, but felt less. Still got small tremors." Every 10 minutes, according to the USGS, they're continuing. More than 100 million people in just the cities live along the Ring of Fire, every single one of them paying attention to the story this morning out of Japan.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.